Good morning to each of you. It's good to be with you, worshiping together. Trust that you have been blessed already this morning, as I have. And as was mentioned, it is our council service. And this morning for council message, I would like to consider the depths of God's knowledge of each one of us. So the message title is Known by God. And I was just pondering the knowledge that God has about us, and my mind went to maybe a parallel thought of people knowing things about us. And my mind went to the big tech companies of our day and how much they know about us. And sometimes we might get the feeling that they know a little bit too much. And I don't know what your thoughts are on all that, but just to think about how much Google knows about us and our interests and our habits and so forth. Sometimes it's a little scary to think about what all these companies know about us and the consumer data market that's out there. And advertisers want to know what to put in front of you. So it's a big market about figuring people out. Sometimes you might have seen an advertisement for something that you were just talking about not too long ago, and you wonder, how did they know that? And you try to figure out what they might have done to figure out what you were talking about. And it's that feeling that you almost want to hide, like, what, I want to get away from this knowledge. I don't want you to know this about me. That uneasy feeling. So I was just considering that a little bit. And then I was thinking maybe on a little bit different track about close friends and how close friends might know each other. And that knowledge that you have of a friend is a little bit different. Your friend will actually know you, and they'll know your likes and dislikes and preferences and your quirks and your personality and temperament and so forth. And sometimes a good friend can actually know right what you're thinking just by knowing you, and they know how you react in certain situations, and a good friend can almost just read your mind like that. But we know there's different kinds of knowing. There's the knowing facts and information, but knowing people is a little bit different. There's a different depth of knowledge there. And just thinking about that difference, we know facts and information like I would know the way to my house, or I know how to install floors. And that's, I would say, a little bit more or less the knowledge that Google has about us. It's just information and their algorithms that they use to try to figure people out. But at the end of the day, it's just information. And those engineers at Google, they don't really know you. They know about you. And that's oftentimes how we make that distinction. I would know of someone, but I don't really know them. I know about them. And it shows that difference. And I've heard that there are actually some languages that have different words for that. If you know a thing or if you know a person, there's different words. And Spanish, I believe, is one of those to show that distinction. And when you know a person, it's more than just knowing facts about them. But I was thinking about knowledge of friends, and I believe even close friends are limited in their knowledge of people. And in a way, they're limited to what you tell them. And if you don't tell them, and they're in the same position as Google, they're just gathering information and observing. Now, there's a lot you can know about a person in that way, but knowing somebody personally and having that connection is different. So this morning, I'm going to consider the knowledge that God has about each one of us, and that personal knowledge that goes beyond any tech company and even beyond a really close friend. And my text this morning is from Psalm 139. So you can turn there. That'll be the passage I'd like to read and just consider God's knowledge of us. And I'll read the whole psalm here. And as we read, I would like for us to try to put on the mind of David, if I can say it like that. It might sound a little strange to say that. You know, we want to put on the mind of Christ, not David. But what I mean is, David, as he wrote this psalm, he was thinking and he was feeling a certain way. And we can see that in the way that he writes, the things that he writes down, his approach toward God, the awe and the reverence in his writing here. And I would like for us to try to find that same mindset, that same approach toward God as we read through this here, that he's expressing. So as we read, let's try to make this personal and to connect with this. Psalm 139, I'll read the entire psalm here. He says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. And thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I would imagine that this psalm is familiar to most of us. And in this psalm, we see a description of God's knowledge of us and his presence with us. And there's a song that had been going through my mind, the song called All My Ways. And I know there's different renditions of it. You know, the Mullet family sings it. And the song, it talks about how all of our ways are known by God, whether it's an easy path that we're on or a difficult path, God knows. And I think that song is based at least in part on this psalm. And that song was at least part of the inspiration for this message as I was just considering the words of that song. And I was thinking about that, this knowledge that God has about us. And I think the song says the peace that comes from knowing that God knows us. And I remember thinking as I heard that song that yes, it can be a comfort and a peace, but it can also be an uncomfortable feeling to know or to think about God knowing us, every aspect of us. And it almost becomes a little bit like Google's knowledge about us, and we want to withdraw and hide ourselves. What's your response to that realization of God's knowledge? And I believe our response shows a little bit about where we're at with God. As we look through this psalm here, I have broken it down into three points of reminder that David is laying out and touching on. And then I want to look a little bit at the response. So three points of reminder. The first of those is that God knows you. And I'm going to look at verses 1 through 12 in this section of God. God knows you. So this psalm describes in a very poetic and memorable way just this knowledge that God has about us, the doctrines of omniscience and omnipresence. And those are just fancy words that mean God's all-knowing and his presence everywhere. It's what he's talking about here. And I believe also that what David writes about here, his personal testimony of God's knowledge of him, I believe that's true for each one of us here today as well. And God has the same knowledge about us this morning. So there's several different words that he uses to describe how God knows us. And there's several different aspects as well. So I'd like to just consider the words that he uses, the different variety of words. So first of all, he talks about searching and knowing. And that has the idea of exploring and digging into something. You want to find out every aspect about that. So you're just looking around. And I just imagine, you know, somebody looking through a new building, and they're trying to explore the building. They open up every room. They're going through and checking all the closets. They want to see everything that's inside. And I get this idea of God searching out every area. What is inside? He talks about understanding. Verse 2, you understand. So it's not just a seeing and a quick scan, but it's a discernment. There's understanding that God has in what he is seeing. And verse 3, we see the word compass. You compass my path, compassest. Basically, the idea of comprehending. And my mind went to the instrument of the compass, and not the compass that you use to find north, the magnetic compass, but the one that you use to draw a circle. You may have used that in geometry class in school. You can draw a circle with a compass. And I think that's the idea that it's getting at here, the all-encircling knowledge that God has of us. His line of vision is all around. It's not just from one angle. He's not just seeing one side, but it's all around, encompassing. We talk about having well-rounded knowledge, that you can see the different angles and all in encompassing. Talks about acquainted. The end of verse 3, you are acquainted with all my ways. And if you're acquainted with something, that's knowing by repeated interaction. It's not just a one-time thing, but over and over, you're observing and you're seeing, and you become acquainted with that after time. So it's talking about familiarity, not just a one-time observation. And he talks about being beset. Verse 5, you have beset me behind and before. I think some translations would say hedged. So just the idea of God being all around us, hedged in. And they're all different words that he uses to describe how God knows you. It's a deep knowledge, and not just a surface level. And in thinking a little bit about the substance of what God knows, he knows you're sitting down and you're rising up. Verse 2, you're laying down. So basically, God knows what you're doing. He knows where you're at, if you're sitting, walking, and there's the knowledge of what you're doing. And verse 2, he also knows, understands your thoughts. And this is not just a external knowledge, but it pierces right through into our minds, our thoughts. God knows the thoughts that are going through our minds. He knows your path. Verse 3, the path you're walking, and I think that's both in a literal sense, you know, where we are, but I think also in the sense of the path that you're on in life. And the journey that you're on. You can think about that as your path. God knows where the decisions that you're making today are going to lead you. That's the path that you're on. God knows where you're headed in life. God knows the words that are in your mouth. Verse 4, there's not a word in my tongue, but God, you know it. And the way he says it almost makes it sound like it's before we even say the words. God knows. And he sums it up by saying that this knowledge that God has, verse 6, he says, it's too wonderful. It's just beyond my comprehension. I can't understand it. I can't attain unto it. This deep knowledge that God has of him. And then he goes on to talk about a little bit different thought, verses 7 through 12, about getting away from God. And you can't hide. When you think about somebody having that close of a knowledge of you, like with Google, we maybe want to hide ourselves. I don't want you to know that. We want to get away. And we think about God knowing us, and he basically says, you can't get away. You can't hide from God. Wherever you go to do the things that we do to get away from God, he talks about fleeing to heaven, making my bed in hell, or just, you know, the lowest, the deepest cave in earth that you could find, out in the uttermost parts of the sea, all these different places. He says God is still there. God's hand is holding. In verse 10, your right hand shall hold me. No matter where we go. And even darkness is not a cover. Usually darkness is a good way to hide ourselves. It works pretty good with other people. You use a darkness as an aid, but it's interesting. It does not work with God. He actually says the darkness and the light are both the same. The night shines like the daytime. You can't hide in any way that you might try to from God. So the first section here, I'm just going to summarize as God knows you. And you can't hide from that either. God knows you. This knowledge, this comprehensive and piercing knowledge that God has about you, about where you are, and what you're about to say, and what you're thinking, all of our ways are known by God. And then the second point of reminder that he's laying out here, verses 13 to 16, is that God made you. And we heard a little bit about that in our Sunday school lesson, the fact that God made each one of us. And I think that's one of the fundamental principles that we all need to remember. We need to know that God made you and that your life is a miracle. It's not an accident. God made you, and he was there when you were in the womb, being developed, and God was covering you. It talks about in verse 13, you covered me. Curiously wrought has the idea of being intricately designed, you know, in the womb, fashioning. And, you know, we often hear this section of verses in relation to pro-life demonstrations, and I believe it is one of the clearest passages that speaks to life before birth and how God is just involved in that whole process, knowing us even before we were born, when we were yet unperfect, as it says in verse 16, God saw us when we were unperfect. God knew us. And I think we could go for a while talking about, you know, all the debate that's going on today about these questions of life and what is life and when does life start? What is a person? And I don't believe there's any ambiguity here this morning about what the Bible says regarding that. But the truth is, our world is confused. And it shows what happens when we take our eyes off of God's word. And when we use philosophy and secular ethics to try to answer these questions. And there's more that could be said about that, but my point from these verses here is just to remind us that God made each and every one of us here. And there's a miracle in the fact that you have life and that you have the body that you do, intricately designed and formed by God in the way that He decided. Jeremiah chapter 1, God says to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." And there's another reference to this. Life is a miracle. God formed each one of us in the womb. He made you and He knows you. And when we bring all this to mind, can we say like David does in verse 14, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works." Let me just praise God for the miracle of life. And then the last point of reminder I see in verses 17 and 18, and that is that God cares for you. And you look at what He says, "How precious also are your thoughts unto me, O God." So God is thinking about you in a very personal way. It's not that He made you and He's just keeping track of you in a distant and impersonal way. And maybe sometimes it might feel like that. But let's not fall into that mindset of a distant God, but God is personal. And we look at the precious thoughts that God has for each one of us. Let's not fall into the mindset either of God maybe caring about other people, but not as much about me. And I think that's another lie of discouragement we need to stay away from. The reminder here that God does care about each one of us. And I don't think we can quite understand the extent of the care that God has for us. My mind goes to John 3:16, where it says, "God so loved the world that He gave His Son." That's how much He cares. God is a personal God, and He's one that has precious thoughts and many thoughts. David says, "Yeah, I can't even number them." Precious and vast. I believe we need to keep that in our minds because it's so easy to lose sight of that. And lastly, I'd like to think about the response. So our response to this knowledge that God has about us, it's important. How are we responding to that? Do we react with that uneasy feeling, of wanting to hide? Or do we embrace that and we find peace in that? So looking a little bit at David's response here, So verses 19 through the end of the chapter, he responds with this outburst against the wicked. And it's quite a dramatic shift quite an abrupt change there. But it seems like he's just lost in this reality of God knowing him and this presence that God has with him. And he comes back to reality with this just righteous zeal. And maybe we get a little bit uncomfortable with some of the words that he uses here, calling down destruction on the wicked and talking about hating with perfect hatred. And we don't usually talk like that. But I think the point is that as he is contemplating the closeness of God, this knowledge that God has of him, that he's resolved to holiness and separation from the wicked. Verse 19, he says, "Depart from me, bloody men, and am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee?" So he's resolved to not want anything to do with those enemies of God. He's grieved by it, and it disturbs him. And I don't think this hatred that he talks about is referring to this animosity and bitterness that we usually associate with hatred. But I think it's more so just a zealous desire to separate himself from anything that it is ungodly, after he considers how well known he is by God and realizes that God knows where he's at. And he turns to his own heart, verses 23 and 24, and we see him just giving this invitation for God to search him. "Search me, O God. Know my heart. Is there anything in my life that would cause this reaction of God against me, and this separation? Would God want to separate from me because of anything in my life? Is there any wicked way in my life?" I just find it interesting that he opens the psalm by saying, "Lord, you have searched me." And then he concludes by saying, giving just this invitation, "God, continue to search me and know me." So this morning, my challenge for each one of us, first of all, is to consider this wonder of being known by God. He knows you through and through. This piercing knowledge that God has, all your ways. God knows you. He made you. He cares about you. And as you ponder that thought, what is your response? Do you want to run away and hide? Remove yourself from God's presence? Is it unwelcome, this knowledge that God has? Or is your response, like we see with David, that of inviting God in to search out and see if there is anything in my life to change? Do we have that same zeal for holiness that we see here? Separation from wickedness. Can you open your heart and your mind to allow God to just search out and pinpoint anything that might need changed? And I trust this morning each one of us can find peace in the fact that God knows us. And it's not unwelcome, but that we can continue to invite God to search and to try our hearts, and that we would be motivated to walk in holiness as we continue our journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for your knowledge of us. It is so vast. It is beyond our comprehension, what you know. And Lord, I pray that would not be fearful, a fearful thing to think about, but that we would welcome your presence with us, that we would search out in our lives, allow you to search out and to point out those things that we might need to change. Lord, would you search our hearts and draw us closer to you? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.